Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Life and Torah of our leaders. Tuesday is 12 p.m. live with First Seder Bez Medrash, firstseder.org. Hope everyone had a wonderful Yontif, the first year since after Pesach. This series is sponsored by Rabbi Yitzchak Saflis, Bottom Line Marketing Group, as a schus for his family, and for all the listeners, and for Klal Yisrael. Today's shiur is sponsored by Rav Moshe Tobal of Lakewood, New Jersey, Chashev v'Chashev Yengaman, and his family. Should be a schus for their hatzlacha. Baruch Hashem, some of you might be aware that I was zeicha to put out a new sefer, the COVID Svira. It's called 33 Days Towards Shavuos, if you could see it here. And it's illuminating the halachic and historical concepts of the mourning period of Svira. So it has a lot of the history of this mourning period, the Avelus of Svira, as well as Chaf Sivan. And if you enjoy these shiurim, you'll surely enjoy the Sefer. It's based on some information, of course, from these shiurim in the history of the time. So that's something that, if you're interested, it's available in your local Svarim store for purchase. Just before we begin, it was very rewarding that on Shabbos, many of you might know that there was a Shiloh, but there was a conversation about which Haftarah you lay in Parshas Kedoshim. It's a very rare Haftarah in Chutz Laretz. And when I looked at my Luach, so the way they presented it, they start off and they said, according to all the Rishonim, you lay in the one that we lay in this past Shabbos, HaTishbait. And when I looked down at the bottom to see which Rishonim they were quoting, so the quote is from the Mardchai, the Aguda, Sefer HaMinhagim L'Rabbi Ziktirna, Minhagim Arash Ostreich, and Maril. So Baruch Hashem, these are Gedolim that we've recently learned about, and it was very rewarding to recognize not only just the names, but to understand who these Gedolim were. So the last year we had before Pesach, we were going through the life of the Maram Mipadva, Rav Meir Katz and Ellen Bogen. It was based on the list of the Ramaz Paiskim that he used for his Pirush. And we mentioned that he was a grandson-in-law and a Talmud of the Mari Mitz. And therefore, although I thought maybe we'll be out of Italy and out of this tkufa already and move on to a different tkufa, but I felt that we couldn't go weiter without learning about the Mari Mintz, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi Mintz, who was Nifter, maybe, we'll see, Chav Tesh Shvat in the year Reish Samach Tes, which is 1509. So let's learn about the Mari Mintz. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, even though he never signs his name as Levi, we see in the Maram Mipadva's preface to the Tshuvas Mari Mintz, he refers, not interestingly also, not even to the Mari Mintz, to his own father-in-law, Reb Yehuda's son, Reb Avram Mintz, Samach Lamed is Skan Levium. That was the way they wrote about Levium. So you see, he was a Levi. Interesting also, the Mari Mintz, he also, the way he signed his name, Yehuda, he always signed it Yud Vav Dalid Aleph, or sometimes, if I remember correctly, he might have even signed it. Let me see if I have a chula here, quickly. The Iker, he signed it without the hey. He didn't write Yud Hey Vav Dalid. He wrote Yud Vav Dalid. The reason they did that, oh, I'm sorry, Yud Vav Dalid Aleph. That's the way they signed Yehuda instead of Yehuda, to keep out the shame of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in Yehuda. So that's a lot of times they signed it that way, and that's the way he signed it. What year was he born? We're not exactly sure, as we'll see in the end of this year. It's based on what year maybe he was Nifter. Some say 1409, some say 1404, perhaps. His father's name was Reb Elezer Halevi, who was a brother of Reb Yitzchak Halevi. And that Reb Yitzchak was the father of Reb Moshe Mintz, who's known as the Maram Mintz. Maram Mintz, we've quoted him other times, perhaps in the Shia on the Chumas HaDeshan. So they were first cousins, the Mari Mintz and the Maram Mintz. Now some say the name Mintz comes seemingly from the city Mainz of Magencia, which is a primary topic in my Sefer on the Avelos of Sfira. obviously from much earlier, from the times of the Crusades, but from the city Magentia, from Mainz, that's how the name Minsk came. So some want to say that's where they came from. That doesn't mean Dafka they came from there, maybe their grandfathers came from there, but some want to say they came from Magentia, and then Magentia there was some type of Girush, expulsion from there, and in the 1400s, and they ended up, his father at least ended up in Italy, perhaps his uncle ended up in other places in Germany, and that's why the Maram Mintz is in Germany, and the Mari Mintz was in Italy. But again, none of this is very documented or clear. Now, he seemed to have learned, this is what all the historians say, by a rabbi named Rabbi Asher Enshechin. Rabbi Asher Enshechin, now again, it's not clear to me that he learned by him, when he learned by him, as we'll see, but this is what they all say, he quotes him as his rabbi. He was from the G'dayli Ashkenaz, and it seemingly, as the historians all say, he is brought in the Psakim of the Maril. Now, as we'll see in a moment, I'm not 100% sure that it's the same person, and the reason is as follows. The reason is because the Maril was Nifter in the year 1427. So if he's bringing Rav Asher Enshechin, if it's the same person, so that means he was around already as a Paisik before that. We are going to see in a few moments that the Mari Mintz quotes him as agreeing to him in the year 1483, which is a good 56 years later. And he calls him Ayashish, the older one. So, but it would seem that he'd be very, very old if he's the same person. Again, it is possible, but I'm not 100% sure, even though they're being lumped together, they're all called Meirenu Rav Enshechin, that it's the same person. So just where the Maril in Eruv Chatzeres and Oisud Beis, he brings that he was told that in Venice, in Venice, the Meirenu Rav Enshechin was matir, a case on Shabbos. There were these sinks that the water came out of, and then the water drained into the Yam. And the question was, on Shabbos, could you do that? The water is going to go into the Yam. So he was matir it for whatever reason. In Shuvas Maril Chadoshus, in Simen Sadi Gimel, Eis Gimel, Mashenegin Akar Leidel, Hamtim Kama Shavuos, the minig that a lady after her birth would wait a few weeks to go to the mikvah, like you heard from Meirenu Rav Enshechin. In the Sefer Minhagim of Reb Isaac Turner, that we just said before, in Hilchos Sukkos, in Kuf Tzadi Beis, he's talking about drinking water outside of a sukkah. V'shamati Meiri Harav Refaivish, Eich Shira Meirenu Rav Enshechin Zal, Leilich Lishlis Mayim Rak Pamachas. Now, again, we don't know 100% with Rabbi Isaac Turner either when he was Nifter, but he's calling him Meirenu Rav Enshechin Zal, that only one time he went to the sukkah to drink the water. So, again, I'm not 100% sure if it's the same person. This, now, Rav Asher Enshechin, who the Mari Mintz, Rabbi Yehuda, quotes, he seems to have been a Rav in a place called Augsburg in Germany, South Germany. Then he was in a place called Ilma or Ulma, I'm not sure where that is. The only reason we know that is because in the Seder Chalitza of the Mari Mintz at the end, there's a copy of a Hashbas Ksuba that he says, Hutak Ois Ois. It was copied letter for letter from the actual writing of the Hashbas Ksuba Shechosam Alav Amitz Kroivi, my relative Hagoyin Meirenu Rav Enshechin Zazal, Numa Torah Yudah Mintz. So, and over there, that Hashbaz Ksuva was making a shvua about Ksuva. That was, it says over there, Nasil Faneinu Poi Beir Ulma, or Ilma. It was made in the city, the year Reish Chaf Hei, which is 1465, Asher Ben Rishaya Enshechin. Now, he, at the end, at the afterwards, he lived in, this Rabbi Asher Enshechin lived in Italy, in Padua. Now, in the Chuvas of the Mari Mintz, he says, Mikamakam divrei anal, everything I'm writing, ein bohem shum mamish, there's nothing to them. If my Rebbe, Meiri Hazakin Amitz, Reish Kalusi Kroivi, Hagoyin Meirenu Rav Enshechin, if he is not maskim to what I said. So again, he's calling him, in his days, he's calling him that he was the Yoshish, the old one. In Simen Gimel, that was Simen Beis in the Tshuva, Simen Gimel, the Mari Mintz writes, the first time he didn't call him Yoshish. He said Hazokin. Here he calls him Ayoshish, the very old one. Reish Kalusa, Goin Enshechin, Omar Li, Vitzivani, Mishum Kvoidi, Shalalitain. Pischon Pele Balilosh in the Daver, Kalmasha Pasakti. It seems the Marimins had given out a psak and people didn't understand it. And his Rebbe, Berein Rav Enshechin, commanded him that he should write a tshuva to explain his psak, not to give place, not to give anyone the chance, the Balei Lashon, to say Lashon Hara about him. Therefore the Gain commanded me to explain and to clarify my words. Now, there's a tshuvas Maram Mintz, again, his cousin, that it seems they're assuming that he's writing to his cousin, the Mari Mintz, Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't say Mintz there, it just says Rabbi Yehuda. In Simin Kuf Yod, so they say like this, he writes, Umasha Gazavta, you, my cousin, wrote, Bezel Shaina, Eini Ro Agoin, Marein Rav Isselin Marfork, my eyes saw the Goin, Marein Rav Isselin Marfork. Rav Isselin Marfork is the Trumas Hadeshen. So it says he saw the Trumas Hadeshen do the following thing. So some of the historians want to say that you see that Mari Mintz learned by the Trumas Hadeshen as well, and that's how he had he was an eyewitness to something that he did. It's not 100% clear. Now, the Mari Mintz had a Talmud. His Talmud's name was Reb Elkanah Kafsali. And he had a son named Reb Elio Kafsali. We quoted him. He has a sefer called Elio Zuta. So he was actually, Reb Elio was a Talmud of Reb Yehuda, the Mari Mintz's son, Reb Avram. But he describes in his Elio Zuta, he writes, the Reb Asher Enshechin had a yeshiva in Padva, and when he got very old, and he describes all the ailments he had over there, so his Talmud, Reb Yehuda, was appointed as the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, it's not 100% clear what year this was and when it was. At the end, the Elio Zuta says that the Mari Mintz was a Rosh Hashiva and a Rav for 37 years, which would put it be'erech in the years 1470s, the early 1470s. Now, assuming he was born in 1404 or 1409, so he was in his 60s or when he became the Rosh Hashiva. And so, again, like I said, I don't know when he learned by Rabbi Asher. Maybe it was in Padva when he was in his 50s, he called him his Rebbe. I'm not 100% sure. There's in Seder Haget of the Mari Mintz, Bei Shvat Reish Lamed Ches, which is 1478, Sidarti Get L'Rochel Bas Yosef, I did a get for Rochel Bas Yosef. So you see already in the 1470s, he was doing Gittin. V'yashem Avia Yosef B'kinuyav, Yossel B'kinuyav. His name was Yosef, but they called him Yossel as a nickname. So the Mari Mintz says that in the get, I didn't write his nickname, because Yossel is just a nickname of Yosef. You don't have to write that. In a get, you write all different types of names. So a person has a Yiddish name, his name is Shloima, and they called him Zalman. So you write Shloima, Hamachuna Zalman. But if it's just Shloima or Shloimke, you don't have to write Shloimke or Shloimi, because that's the same name. That's what he's writing. It's just a kitzer of the name. And he says that's what the Trumas Hadeshen Paskins, and I did it that way. And he writes, even though in Shuvas Mari Vail, he writes, the Maril did write it, he says, but I decided, I Paskin, that the Trumas Hadeshen is the Iker way of doing it. So here he's writing a get in the 1470s, and he is being Machria and Paskining like the Trumas Hadeshen over the Maril. In Seder Haget Oislamid Beis, there's a get from Yudches Elo Reish Mem Gimel, 1483. Nosati get, and he says another thing there. But like a Safti ben HaKadosh Moshe, the person's name was, his father's name was Moshe, but he was killed HaKiddush Hashem, so he was called HaKadosh. He says, I didn't write it. Even though they called it, when they call him up to the Sefer Torah, they say ben HaKadosh, but he says, we call people up to the Sefer Torah, ben Mareinu Harav, and you don't write that in a get. And this is the get in 1483, Amitz Reish Kalusa Krovi Agoin Merin Ravenshechin Al Yadi. He says, and my relative Ravenshechin was maskim to me. So here's 1483, Ravenshechin, he calls him, he doesn't say here how old he was, that he was old, but we assume that he was old, because already in earlier, he was considered elderly. So, he was maskim to him. This is 1483. So that's why I said before, the Maril, who was nifted in 1427, is already quoting Psakim from him, if it's the same person, so he must have been very elderly. Now, in the Sefer Mitzaref L'Chachma, which is from later 1500s, he describes the Ma'ariv min Sheyarabba Da'ame, he was the Gol Adar, Medabrana Dumse, and the one who spoke for his nation, Aviyam Shel Ashkenazim Bizmane, he was the father of Ashkenazim in his time. Now the Eliyahu Zutta, as we said, who was his Talmud son, describes the yeshiva, and he says that the payment that the yeshiva got was 100 florins, 100 prachim for the year, I don't know what that is in money. They gave him a big house to live in, and part of his job was to teach the Talmidim who didn't have enough money to get a private Rebbe. And he says each of those Talmidim, they had a room in his big house, and even though the Talmidim had to find their own food, but they will all eat together at the same table, and over there they would talk and learning. And this is the Seder Alimud, he writes. He says he would sit in his house and he would say the halacha, meaning learn the Gemara, they called the Gemara the halacha, to someone who wasn't able to learn it on his own from these Talmidim. And then after eating lunch in the afternoon, so the Talmidim HaGedoylim VaHarifim, the sharp ones and the Gedoylim, they would come and he would give shir to them, Magid Lehem HaTosfos. He would tell them the Tosfos, the additional things, and the Tosfos and the Pirushim. And also the rich Talmidim who had private Rabbeim in the morning, they would have private Rabbanim, they would also come at this time. And then the next morning after davening, the Rebbe, the Rav, would go with his Talmidim that were living with him in the house to a small house that was in the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses HaGadol of the Shul. And that house is called Yeshiva. That place is called the Yeshiva. And in the Yeshiva there were chairs all around and there were smuchai shalates, which are like shtenders and things like that, to lean on. And over there, they would sit, lemishpat b'talmud, to judge the Talmud, meaning to have a shir and talk and learning. And then afterwards, all the Rabbanim and Talmidim, with their Talmidim, the Lamdanim with the Talmidim, they would come. So everybody here is now in the yeshiva, the place where you sit to learn. And the Rav would start asking questions, and everyone would answer. And this was called pilpul ha-yeshiva, the back and forth in learning. Now he says this pilpul was done without anybody opening a sefer, because they all knew the Gemara. They had learned the Gemara the day before. It was Shkura B'Fiv, and Memela, all the pilpul was without a sefer. Only the Rebbe would have a sefer in front of him, where he would show them what we're learning that day and what we're learning the next day. They would sit there for about an hour, then he would show them tomorrow's halacha, and they wouldn't go further than he said. They wouldn't learn less than he said. They went through that Gemara that he told them to learn. After that, they would get up and everyone go back to their houses and they would start this again. They would start it again. This was every day till Thursday. On Friday, everybody learned what they wanted. Then he describes Bein Hazmanim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is called Bein Hazmanim. So many of the Talmidim had left their wives at home and they would go back for Yantif. And then the rest who were left in the city, they would learn with the Rabbeim. And what would they learn? Hilchas HaRegel. They would learn the halachas of the Yontif, like Moshe was Tikkun Lam Yisrael, to learn the halachas of Yontif. Now, one of his big Talmidim we've met a few times, Rav Yosef Yuspa, the author of the Lekesh Joysher, who was a Talmud of Trumas Hadeshen and wrote things down from the Trumas Hadeshen, but he also has things in Lekesh Joysher that he saw by the Ma'ariv Mintz, by Rabbi Yehuda Mintz. Now, to describe what the situation with the Balabatim in Padva at the time, in Tshuvas Avkas Reichel, there's a copy from the Tshuvas Maram in Padva, and he writes over there, V'atoa sapir no lechem es asher kara poi, Padva. I'm going to tell you a similar story to what they were talking about there, that happened in Padva in the days of Hazokei Mora Goyla Rabbeinu Yehuda Mintzal. There was a very strong and powerful person, and he was always fighting with the Rav. And not only the Rav, my grandfather, he says, and also my father-in-law also, he was always having machloksim. It's ish melchama, he said. And he decided one day to make a beautiful paroiches woven with all types of jewels and pearls and stuff like that. And they embroidered into it the tzura, the form of a tzvi, of a deer. Because that was his coat of arms. That was like his coat of arms, and that was his signia, whatever you call it, and they put it on there. The thing was that it wasn't flat, it stuck out because of all the jewels. So this is a problem, it's not so simple to make a tzura that is boilet, that sticks out. And he wanted to put in the shul on Yomim Tovim, and the Ma'ariv Mintz told him he can't do it. And he didn't listen, because he was always fighting against him, and he found some Rabbanim who helped him, and they told him some Mar Mekaymes from Shas that it's mutter. And B'chayzik Yad, because he was so powerful, he put it in the shul on Yontif, and because of that, V'yotza Hazokim Mibes Haknesses B'chariyaf, the Marimin stormed out of the shul in anger. And because of that, the fights continued and became very big because of this. So just to describe what the Balabatim situation was at the time. Now, in Simin Yud, the Mari Mintz puts a certain Talmud Chacham, a Tzur B'Merabonon, in Cherem, because he was over on the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, and he married a second wife. And he said that he had a heter for Rebbe Elia Mizrachi. So, he said, Rebbe Elia Mizrachi told him, that's the Mizrachi on the Pirush, on Rashi and Chumash, and he said that Rebbe Elia Mizrachi told him the Gzeres Rabbeinu Gershom was not B'Mokka Mitzvah of Pru Ravu, and since he didn't have children yet, he could have a second wife. So the Mari Mintz writes a tshuva, and he tries very hard to answer what Rebbe Elia Mizrachi was talking about. Maybe he meant B'Mokka Yibum, which is Doiraisa. But at the end he says, I don't even believe the Rebbe Elia Mizrachi was mata this. I believe that it was he made it up, this person. He says, and at the end of the tshuva writes, he says, I don't understand the smart people who live in Karfoy. Why are they lenient in the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom Amar Agayla? He says, therefore, it's pashut that the person who did it is muhram u'manudel shamayim. He's in cherem to Hashem, u'briyosev, and to people. And you can't rely on any of his psakim anymore. Not only if it's negeah to arayas, to marriages and things like that. Any psak you cannot rely on anymore. Now, the Mabit in Chelek Beis, he's talking about over there in Tshuva. I didn't write down the Maramok. I have the Maramokim here. In Chelek Beis, he has a tshuva where there was a cherem that someone put out against the psak of the Beis Yosef, who also, and other chachamim, who were also matter somebody to marry two wives. And they put a cherem against him. What happened to cherem de Ben Gershon? So the Mabit writes, Re'inu Rav Gadol B'Doira Mari Mintzi. We saw a very big Rav, the Mari Mintz, that Asher Hiflig V'Radav Achar, that he went and he chased someone who married a second wife. He says, but you'll notice, he never said that the person should divorce the second wife. He just said that he is muhram, that he's in cherem, that he was over on Takanas, Rabbeinu Gershon. And I feel, says the Mabit, if it would become clear that Rebbe Elia Mizrachi was materit, probably Mari Mintz wouldn't have gone connected Rebbe Elia Mizrachi's psak, lekavod harav shahirele. So therefore he's saying, over here also, the fact that the Beis Yosef and other Chachamim gave the psak to go and make a cherem against the person who did it, number one, it seems they wanted him to get divorced, and he said even the Mari Mintz didn't make the guy get divorced. And number two, if he has a psak from a Bezdin, from Gedolim, you shouldn't come out with a cherem connected it. If you remember, in the Shir on the Mara Mipadva, there was takanas that they made over there in Italy, and one of them was that a person who was married for 10 years and wanted to take a second wife, he could, as long as his first wife is Maskin. So I don't understand exactly if the Mari Mintz was so against this because of Cherem de Reina Gershon, how his grandson-in-law, Marami Padva, was Maskin to this minig of having a second wife as long as the first one's Maskin. I'm not 100% sure in the history and how that works. Okay, so that's one thing he was very stark. Another very famous thing from the Mari Mintz, Simeon Zion, Advar Levishas HaPartzufim, the masks that the minig was that the Bachrim and the girls would wear on Purim. And not only that, they would wear masks, they would dress up, boys would wear girls' clothes, and girls would wear boys' clothes. He says, G'daylam v'chasid oylam zal shenis gadalti etzlam asherro b'neam v'neisam chasneam v'kaliseam loif shenisam. He says, G'dayle oylam, that I grew up amongst them. They saw their sons, daughters, sons-in-law, and daughters-in-law all do this, and change begodim mibig de'ish lebig de'isha v'chein lehepach. If there was any little bit of a chashash of aveira, of course they never would have been quiet and they would have protested. So must be, they must have had a proof and a smach, sheheter gamarhu. So he comes to write a tshuva, why it's mutter on Purim, and you don't have to worry about the isser, the prohibition of layil bashgever simlasisha, and a man and a woman switching clothing. And at the end he says, the reason is because the Isser is, one of the bigs of the Isurim is, in the Torah, why a man can't wear a woman's clothing is because he'll go mingle amongst the women in order to be mezana. Over here he says, they're not mechaven, they don't have intentions for znus, for simchas purim. Now in the middle he writes another kula that they used to have on Purim was, he says, they had a kula that anyone who would steal things on Purim, they would chap small things, some food, some something, because of Simchas Purim, even without Rishus, from the time of Mikram Megillah, the night of Purim, till the end of Sudas Purim, the next night, so two nights in one day, is not a problem of Gezel. There's no problem of Gezel. It's because of Simchas Yontif, Simchas Purim, that they do it. So Zakhtamari Mintz, just like they didn't make a gather l'inyan gzela, they didn't make a gather l'inyan le'silbash, and because Gezel and Arayis Yetzer Echol lehem, Hu Adin Hacha, they have the same Yetzer Hara, Gezel and Arayis, Chazal say everyone has Yetzer Hara for it, so if you see they weren't worried about the Yetzer Hara of stealing, and they said, if a Simchas Purim will allow it, so too, we could say that they don't care about the Yetzer Hara of the Znus, so to speak, and therefore, you don't have to worry about changing clothing. So this is a monumental psak from the Mari Mintz. On Purim, you can wear men's and women's clothing. Darkei Moshe, the Rama on Tafrei Tzadavav, he brings this Mari Mintz, and he adds in the middle, maybe this is the reason there's a minig to wear kilayim derabanan on Purim. If you have a bega that's only shatnez midrabanan, you see they were more lenient in Isurim, that's where the minig came from. But then, if you remember from the Shir on the Mari Braina, he brings to the Mari Braina, who brought Bashem his father, who said it's Aser, and the Mari Braina says, I'm Moicha as well. Zokter Rama, if that's Aser, to wear Kelaim Drabanan, Kol Shekein Lilbash Partufin, you can't wear the costumes, because that might be a Shaila of a Deiraisa. And the Rama is interesting. When you read the Rama, you think it's one long thing. The Rama in Shulchan Aruch there says, Mishenoagu, Mashenoagu Lilbash Partufin, the minute that people wear the costumes and switch, ain't Isser, there's no problem. V'chein b'levishas kalayim, and also wearing kalayim drabonim. V'yesh oimrim da'asr, no, some say it's asr. V'chein b'nei adam ha'chaytvin, also those who chap, ain't b'zeh mishum gezel, is no gezel. And in the parentheses there it says, who is it? Chuvas Mari Mintz. Now the Mari Mintz was the costumes, the Mari Mintz was the gezel. The Ramah is the one who added in the Kalayim Derabanan, but when you read it, it sounds like it's one long Mari Mintz, but really it's a pilpul in the Ramah. Now, he made many takanas. We mentioned in the Shir on the Maran Padva that the Marshal says that the Maran Padva was mechazek. He strengthened the takanas of his grandfather-in-law, the Mari Mintz. And in Reish Samach Zayin, I'm a little out of order in the years, but I'm just talking about takanas here, which is 1507. He gathered together in Padva all of the Rabbanim that were in the Italian kingdom, and they came to make some takanas. So I'll tell you a few of the takanas. One of them was that he says there are pritzim, there are people who they trick women and they're mekadesh them. The woman doesn't really chap that she's getting married, however it was. So especially they were young. So they made a takana, you can't marry a woman unless it's in front of her father, her mother, or in front of two of her relatives. Another takana, you see what was going on at the time. A woman is not allowed to go to the bathhouse of a male goy, only if it's a female. So the women were going, there were male bath attendants, the women were not wearing clothing, and the males were there. He says, and no men are allowed to come in the place of the bathhouse. He says, now what happens if they need like bloodletting or all that type of stuff, which is usually done in the bathhouse? A man guy could do it, but she has to be fully clothed except for the place where he has to uncover to do this thing. And also there has to be two women standing there as well. So you see, there were things unfortunately going on in the bathhouse. Another thing, this blows you away. We made a gzera. Men should not dance with married women except on Purim. But single women they could dance with. So obviously there were things going on there that they felt that this gather was something that they were able to make. And then they said all married women have to cover their hair. They made some other takanas as well. And who was signed at the bottom of this? So who were the signed? Beroish, Moronav, Rabbonon, Adoini Hayoshish Hashem Yarech Yomu Shneisav. Now 1507, he was very, very old. Especially he was born in 1404 or 1409. He was close to 100, if not over 100. So he says that the head of this was Maran of Rabbanan, the old one, Hayoshish Hashem Yarech Yomu Shneisav Mari Mintz, Skan Leviyah. Now, one of the famous things, and we mentioned this in the Shir on the Maharam Padva as well, because some wanted to say he was a Talmud of Rav Yaakov Palak from Prague, and we mentioned it's not clear, and especially because of the Mari Mintz's Machloikas of Rav Yaakov Palak, and we don't see that the Maharam Padva tried to water anything down. In Simi Yud Gimel, he writes, Hinei ata karav lePesach Reish Nun Beis. Now, near Pesach 1492, I've gotten chavilos, bundles of tshuvas, beroiv acheinu v'rabiseinu meretz Ashkenaz, from a majority or from a large amount of our brothers in Arabeim and Ashkenaz, al dvar hamiyun, because of the miyun of Marasulka, tavanisis lahuvi v'amisi b'teira Reb David Saner. Miyun is the idea that if a girl doesn't have a father, and if a father accepts kiddushin for a girl that's a ketana under the age of 12, she is married min ha-Torah. But if she has no father, and her mother accepts kiddushin, and her brothers, she's only married mid rabbanan. And the rabbanan came along and said that for her to get unmarried, she doesn't have to get divorced, she just has to be mimayin to refuse, and these are sugyas and yavamis, and therefore she's not married anymore. So there was a miyun, a lady named Sulka, who was married to my friend in Torah, Reb David Saner. And everyone, he says here, that the miyun is not a miyun. They said that the miyun is not a good miyun. And the talu atzman b'ilon gadol, and they relied on ilon gadol, a big tree from the last generation, Merein Rav Menachem Merzberg. Rav Menachem Merzberg was one of the Ashkenazi gedolim of the generation before. He wrote a sefer called Mil Tzedek, which is quoted a lot, I don't think we have it. And he had made a takana with another gadol not to do miyun bizman hazeh, and he had reasons for it that we're not going to do miyun bizman hazeh. People are going to end up not giving gittin because they're not going to understand when and what, and therefore there's no miyun bizman hazeh. If you want to get divorced, you got to get divorced. Who was the one who was matarit? Rabbi Yaakov Palak. Rabbi Yaakov Palak was in Prague. Now, if you remember, Rabbi Yaakov Palak eventually ended up in Krakow. After this story, he had to leave Prague, went to Krakow. He was the one, like we said, who was the mechaber, we said this a few times, of the idea of chilukim. He was the Rebbe of Reb Shalom Shachna from Lublin, and he changed the way of learning for many in Poland at the time. So Rabbi Yaakov Palak was the one who was matter her to be mamayin. So now, so says the Mari Mintz, I see the Rosh HaMedabrim, who's the one who's fire against it, who's now fighting this milchama, Marina Rav Yaakov Margolis. Rav Yaakov Margolis. And V'nosem Berchosei Ala Marif, and he gave his bracha to Rav Yaakov Palif, L'tusa D'Rabbanan, writes Eloimer Shamta, meaning Rav Yaakov Margolis put Rav Yaakov Palik in Cherem for doing this. And he writes a whole tshuva, the Mari Mintz, and the end he says, I'm asking that the miyun is not a good miyun. And he says, what you should do is, you should send all of these reasonings and all these letters to Rabbi Yaakov Palak to explain to him why it's not good. And if he retracts, okay, because he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov Margolis. So Rabbi Yaakov Palak was a Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov Margolis, and he went against his Rebbe. He says, and again, so if he retracts, because his Rebbe says not like this, good. And if he would listen to me, I would tell him to go be mevakish mechila from his Rebbe's kever. I guess so. I'm sorry. So I'm not sure exactly. I guess Rabbi Yaakov Margolis had been nifta already. Okay, I'm not 100% sure what he was saying over here. He said, "Should go be mevakish mechila." Maybe he had been nifta by the time that it ended up by the Mari Mintz. He says, if he's chas v'shalom, he's not chayzer, he's not retracting, roi lo'haridu migdulasai v'achrach l'nadoisai, you should take him down from his gedula, demote him, and then put him in, chayrim. Now, like we said, at this point, since he did not retract, he had to leave Prague, and he went to Krakow. The Marshal in Yamshel Shleimei writes, in Yevamos, Perek Yud Gimel, Simon Yud Zayin, he brings this whole sugya. He says, V'gadol echad b'doirei noag v'asa halacha miyana. A gadol echad in his generation did this. She'adam gadol b'toira. He's referring to Rabbi Yaakov Pollack. V'nechlik alav kol g'dayli Ashkenaz, and all the g'dayli Ashkenaz. And he says, and Bereisham was Rabbi Yaakov Margolius, Rav Pinchas Miprag, and Rabbi Yehuda Mintz. And they put him in Cherem because of this. And Umirev Chashivusa G'dulusa L'Yishkiach Benim G'zeresem. He was so chashiv, he didn't pay attention, he didn't care. He says, and this girl who was Mimayin, this Sulka, ended up going to get married to another man after this Mion. He says, I heard, says the Marshal, Shazivugam L'Eliyafe, their Zivug did not, was not L'Eliyafe, it didn't work out so well. He says, therefore, I'm masking L'Halacha that we do not do Mion. He says, however, if someone, a Bezdin, paskin the girl, a lady, to do Mion, even though they did incorrectly, and they should be demoted, however, you do not make her get divorced from her second husband, because the Maisa, she had a psak, and you can't say that it didn't work. Now, what's a Pella is as follows. The Ramo and Ebenezer, Kuf Nun Hei, Sif Chav Beis, writes, if she's less than 12 years old, b'ma'enes afilu b'zman hazeh. V'chein also Mari Mareinu Harav Yaakov Polakzal. He paskin like this, Maisa b'yomav. U'deloy ki yesh machmirim, not like the yesh machirim, v'amru she'ein bas b'ma'enes b'zman hazeh klal, that says a girl cannot be m'mayim b'zman hazeh at all. And in parentheses there it says, Meram Marsberg and Mari Mintz. So the Ramah's paskin like Rabbi Yaakov Pollack, and Keneged the Maram Marsberg and the Mari Mintz, and like the Yam Shel Shleimi says, Keneged all Gedolei Ashkenaz. It's a very, it's a paladika thing how he went taka with Rabbi Yaakov Pollack's psak lahalach. Okay, let's talk about the Tshuvas Mari Mintz. The Maram Padva, as we mentioned the last time, was married to his granddaughter. And he writes in the preface that many people were urging me to put out the psakim of my grandfather. He says, but I toiled and I looked and I couldn't find any. He's because in the year that he was nifter in Reish Samach Tes in 1509, in Padva there was a pogrom, and unfortunately the Goyim got to his Sfarim and they tore them and they burnt them, and there was very little left, and there's nothing left. He says, now my brother-in-law came to me and he said he checked through all the Sfarim of the Mari Mintz, and stuck into different svarim. He found little kuntresim, little pamphlets of tshuvas, one here and one here, till we got together 17 psakim, 17 tshuvas, and he brought them to me. I said, what am I supposed to do with 17 tshuvas? Make a sefer out of 17 tshuvas? So I said, I have an idea. My talmidim were telling me that I should put out my tshuvas, but I didn't want to put out my tshuvas. He says, maybe now is the time to listen and give a nachas ruach to my talmidim, put out my tshuvas, and I'll put them together with the psakim of the Mari Mintz, since the Mari Mintz is anyways only a few tshuvas. And I'll put them together, and he'll be the main part of the sefer, because of the chash of Mari Mintz, I'm nothing compared to him, even though it's 17 tshuvas, and then there'll be my tshuvas. So that's why they're all printed together, and that's why, unfortunately, we only have 17 tshuvas from the Mari Mintz. Now, the Sefer Kairi Hadaris, page 29, Chavta Samar Aleph, he says, interesting thing, he says, I saw a ksav yad from Yeshua Tzuntzino, from the Sonsino family. He writes over there, don't answer me from the words of the Mari Mintz. Shema yoisabli sofik muflug b'chachma v'zikna. Yes, he was muflug, he was unbelievable in wisdom and in age. Kibalnu me'aviseinu v'aviseinu. This Rabbi Shua Tzitzonim must have been a Svardi. Now we know the Svardim are very eloquent and they write very poetic and they have all these very flowery and an intense way of writing. And he writes, as I'm a kabbal from Aviseinu v'Aviseinu, the Ein Chachmasei Nikar Mitach Psakim. You can't really see the Chachma of the Mari Mintz from his Psakim. She Yoisa Gadol Kifle Kiflayim, because he's much bigger, double, quadruple times bigger, more than that. Kihu Ashkenazi. He was an Ashkenazi. V'chol Ashkenazim Hayibativon Kvei Deisaf of Loshon. Ashkenazim weren't able to express themselves so well. Ben Kayach Levati Bisvasayim. They can't really express with their lips. V'lo Lichta V'kumas, and they're not able to actually write with a pen. Ha'imek Ashrichem Besayt Liban, the depths of their hearts. So V'lo Yavinim, you can't really understand them clearly. Elamisha Shammai Sam V'kavei Bishivasayim. If you actually heard them, and you were knew them, and you were in the yeshivas, and you really came to understand them, then you could be medayik, I guess, in their psakim. But he says, Ashkenazim don't know how to write very well, to express themselves, and therefore you can't bring, I guess, a raya from whatever this one was trying to bring a raya from the lashon of the psak. Now, the Leket Yosher, who we said was a Talmud of his, writes in Chelek Aleph, page 43, he says, I remember, Pam Achas, the Trumas Hadeshen, did Birchas Hachama. So we could assume this was in the year Reish. This is in the year Reish Tes, which is 1449, because the Trumas HaDeshen was Nifter about the year 1460. He says, I also saw the Mari Mintz do Birchas HaChama. So this was probably the next time in 1477 in Reish Lamed Zayin, because Leket Yosher, we don't know when he was Nifter, but his last entry is Reish Memches 1488. He was probably Nifter around then. So this is he saw the Mari Mintz do Birchas HaChama in 1477. Reb Yitzchak ben Reb Yosef Yaivitz, the Chassid Yaivitz on Pirkei Avos, who was from those expelled from Spain, he has a son, Reb Yitzchak, in the Akdamah to his Sefer of his father called Chastei Hashem, which was printed in 1533, he writes, it's been 28 years, that goes, so 1533 minus 28 is 1505, he says that I was in Padva, I was relying, I was Saimech on my father-in-law, HaMekubo, Reb Yehuda Avshraga. And he said then, in the beginning of that machzor, of that 28-year cycle, so basically in 1505, Kiriisi Oz Harav Agoyin Mari Mintz, Asher Hoyo Oz Keben Me'ashon, I saw the Mari Mintz, who was around 100 years old in 1505, V'Ola Amayla Gavoya, and he went up on a high platform, the Kibbutz Kol Kehilas HaKodesh, together with all of the communities, and he made the bracha Birchas HaChama Oisa Maisa Bereshis Yirasen Shenizke Levarach Oisa B'Shana Hazois. Hopefully we'll be able to say it also this year, as he's writing in 1533. So we have the Trumas, the Leket Yosher saying he saw him do it in 1477, and now we have that he did Birchas HaChama in 1505 when he was Keben Me'ashana. This would have been the fourth time in his life. 1421, 1447, and 1477, and 1505, four times doing Birchas HaChama in the life of Reb Yehuda Mintz. Now, he continues the Reb Yitzchak Yaivitz, and he writes, Reish HaMachzor HaNisker, in the beginning of that cycle, now it doesn't mean mamash the first year of that 28-year cycle, but the beginning, in the same year, Nisvakish v'yeshiva al-yayinash ne'mayri, ma'iri ha'mayris ha'gdelam and iskarim, these, by two teachers, the two, Mari the Gedolim, meaning my father-in-law, the Mekubal, and the Mari Mintz, somewhere in the beginning of that 28-year cycle, after 1505, they were Nifter in the same year. So the Elio Zuta, who was his Talmud's Talmud, he says that he got to Padva in 1509, Reish Samach Tes. Doesn't say exactly when, but when you look through what he's saying, it was after Hanukkah sometime. And he got there, and he says 8 days after he got there, the Mari Mintz got sick, and he was Nifter 8 days later on Shabbos, and he writes he was 98 years old, and he had yeshiva, and he was a Malamed Torah for 37 years. So we had Keven Me'ashana, here we have 98. So again, like I said, depending on exactly how old he was when he was Nifter, is when you figure out when he was born. But he was clearly, if he was 100 in 1505, and he was Nifter in 1509, now remember, he was alive in 1507 when they made those takanas in Padva before. So if he was 100 in 1505, that means he was Nifter at 104 in Reish Samach Tes. Again, we don't know for sure that whose age was the proper recording over here. He was buried the next day after Shabbos. They went and they said the wood, I guess the shtenders, so to speak, that were in the yeshiva, those wood shtenders we talked about, that they should take them out, they should knock them down, and they should use them to make his aron. That was the place that they leaned on. They were mepalp sheinshanim aleh bnei yeshiva. Yeshiva leaned on them umepalpel, and they would learn Torah and make his aron out of that wood. Now, when exactly is the date? So again, from the Eliyahu Zuta, it sounds like it was sometime after Hanukkah. Some say Chaf Teshvat. I'm not sure where they got that from. Some say it's in Tishrei. Some say that the Abarbanel was Nifter 5 days later. Barbanel was buried in Padva too. He wasn't Nifter in Padva. Where he was, you couldn't bury Yidin there or anyone. So he was buried in Padva 5 days later. But if you remember way, way back in the Shem of Barbanel, we don't know when he was Nifter either. Some say Yud Alef Sivan, some say Tishrei. So all this is very unclear. In that year, like we said before, in Reish Samach Tes, there was a pogrom in Padva. We said that's what destroyed his Svarim. And the Beis HaKvaris was destroyed. And all the Kfarim were destroyed, and they lost track of where the Mari Mintz's kever was. But they had Epis Minig. It's brought down, and we said this in the Bar Ben Elsher, that Erev Yom Kippur, they would go to a certain place by a certain alley, and there was a Mesaira, that's where the Bar Ben El was Nifter. Now, assuming the Mari Mintz was near the Bar Ben El, it was probably in the same area as well. In Tavshin Tezvav in 1955, they moved the bones from the old Beis HaKvaris in Padua to a new Beis HaKvaris. They write, there's a big, if you could Google this, if you Google that Bar Ben El, it'll come up, and there's a big stone, and it said on there that Lefia Kabbalah Biodenu, that according to the tradition we have, that the Atzamas of Don Yitzchak Bar Ben El, Umari Mintz, that amongst the bones that we got was the Bar Ben El, the Mari Mintz, and they made this big matzeva, so either it is or it isn't, I don't know, but that is Rabbi Yehuda Mintz, the Mari Mintz, Schuso Yogin Aleinu Val Kol Yisrael. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and Kol Tov.